Today is November 26th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. It's a little late, I know. Sunday night we're posting, mostly because I'm coming off of a huge turkey binge. We're here, though. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, and apparently I didn't have as much turkey as Ricky, but I'm still full. And to get the full story on anything we cover in today's podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
you're still full story. It's like a pun.
It was kind of like that.
This week it's oh gosh, it's a quick look at some news from the week. Then off into a holiday buyer's guide. This is going to be a fun show. I'm psyched for it. Strap on your capitalism shorts. We're going to start with the news.
Apple stock reached an all-time high of nearly $93 this week before closing at $91.63 a share. Friday's trading capped a three-week-long upward trend in the company's stock price.
That surge was driven largely by comments from American technology research analyst Shao Wu. On Monday, Mr. Wu issued a report claiming Apple is working on a second iTunes cell phone that will feature messaging capabilities and leveraging the existing iChat software in Mac OS X. You may recall that Apple's first iTunes cell phone, which Mr. Wu has repeatedly encouraged us to expect, has yet to see the light of day. Mr. Wu said that he, quote, remains uncertain on the exact timing, end quote, of the release. No freaking kidding.
And Yankee Group analyst Michael Goodman did inject a little sanity into the discussion later in the week. He raised the single most important point, namely that we haven't seen anything from Apple that the iPhone's debut is imminent.
Mr. Goodman also pointed out that Apple wouldn't release such a new product this close to Christmas or for both marketing and logistical reasons. In short, it's unlikely that anything is going to happen this quarter, and we have no idea what's going to happen in future quarters.
And on a separate note, eMusic, which is second to iTunes among legal music provider download services, that was tough to say, on Monday announced that it will deliver its 100 millionth track in the next few weeks. The company noted that it took 2 years to reach 50 million downloads, but has now hit 100 million a year after that milestone.
Unlike iTunes, which you'll recall has sold somewhere over a billion songs, eMusic has no DRM, or digital rights management software, on its songs, meaning that users can play the MP3 tracks they download on any computer or music player, including the iPod and its competitors. They can also send the music to various places, play it on different machines. They can send it over file sharing networks as well. So it is completely unprotected music. The flip side is that eMusic has had a much harder time getting artists to make their music available for distribution through the new service, although there are some big name artists. For example, Bare Naked Ladies has a big relationship with them.
Right, and Bare Naked Ladies, for those of you that don't know, actually truly embraces the whole idea of no DRM, so it's no surprise they're involved. And now, why not get into the fun stuff? We wanted to talk about some cool products since Thanksgiving is over, and people are generally turning their attention to the gift-buying phase. Rather than tell you what we want, though, we decided to approach this more like a buyer's guide. So if you need something for a kid, something for a parent, we'll let you know what we think is a really good thing to get. And of course, we're also in the middle of a series on mic reviews. So, Ricky, why don't you start us off with something about that?
All right, so in the spirit of a buyer's guide, if you were looking to get this as a present for someone, this would actually be a pretty sweet present. The microphone I'm using today, if you're looking for something for an audio geek or a podcaster or both, a really well-rounded condenser mic, a condenser mic that you can use to mic instruments, that you can use to mic vocalists, that you can use for podcasting, that's a really rugged kind of thing. I'm using one today. We've been looking at a bunch of Shure microphones. This is a Shure KSM-27 is the model of the microphone. It's a condenser mic. It retails for around $300. It's really solid. It comes with this little shock-absorbing mount, which is kind of cool. And it sounds great. I haven't spent a lot of time with it. Just started talking to it earlier today, and I'll take a look at some other stuff. But it's known, if you go out and read other stuff about it, it's known as a really kind of good workhorse microphone. You can use it. It can handle really high sound levels, and so you can use it to mic things like drum kits under some circumstances. So it's a really versatile mic, and it also sounds great for podcasting. It's got a nice kind of mellow sound to it. We were talking before, I talked several shows ago about this Samson CL8 condenser mic that I've used in the past. And if you listen to that show where I was using the CL8, there's a lot of hiss in my voice. There's a lot of harsh edge to it. There's a lot less of that on this microphone. So I'm actually pretty psyched about this mic. So kind of a mellow sounding thing for podcasters, handles the, you know, the bass end of my voice well. And I'm going to play around with it a little bit in future weeks to hear some other stuff that it can do with instruments and miking instruments and other stuff. So kind of a cool thing for an audio geek that wants a really functional microphone to do all kinds of audio stuff. So if you happen to have one of those on your buying list, check this thing out.
Cool. Okay. Now, something that you could look at for a spouse or other significant person in your life. How about a digital camera like Sony's CyberShot DSC-W70? This is a $250-ish point-and-shoot camera. It gives you, I believe it's 7.2 megapixel resolution and has a nice viewing display. It's easy to figure out how to use. And it also uses a standard USB cable to connect to your computer, unlike some other cameras that require a proprietary USB cable. So you don't have to worry about remembering to carry 3, 4, 5, whatever, however many different cables when you go traveling. All you have to do is carry that same USB cable that you're using for most of your other devices.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. I'm amazed at the stuff that's going on, and this is not a new story, of course, with the price changes in digital cameras. I was looking through sales on cameras, and they have 3-megapixel cameras for something like $50 or $80 when you were buying them on sales on last Friday. It's amazing what people – these are 3-megapixel cameras. 3-megapixel camera, when I first bought one in like 2000, was probably $400, $500. It's ridiculous the changes in price that have happened there. I'm curious though, Jeff, you're big on a lot of visual stuff on Macs. I'm curious why particularly you picked the CyberShot and this model of CyberShot. I have some experience with HP cameras. I did a roundup of HP products a while ago. I'm curious why it is that of all the digital camera makers, you settled on Sony and the CyberShot.
Actually, I really like the CyberShot product line. I think Sony's done a really good job with it over the years. And I have one of their older CyberShots. And just to give you an idea how old, it's a 1.3 megapixel camera, and it cost about $450.
Whoa.
And it's still a really good camera. One of the things that I like about the CyberShot series is that you tend to get really good color that you don't have to do a lot of tweaking to, unless you have weird lighting conditions that are going to really skew your colors anyhow. And for outdoor shots, I've always had extremely good luck with color quality on the Sonys.
Yeah, that is a big deal. I've worked with a Canon in the past, took one on vacation, and I've most recently used an HP for the last year and a half or so. The HP that I have is the R717, which is, I think, a 6-megapixel camera, and it's a couple years old. I think they've replaced it now with something else. I've always been pleased with HP's. They actually have, I think, done a pretty good job designing a really usable camera. Their menus tend to be really straightforward. Their whole kind of operation tends to be pretty simple. There are very few buttons on the camera itself, but they do the things that you need the buttons on the camera to do. So I've always felt, if you're buying something for grandma and you just want grandma to have a really simple time learning how to use it, HP, I've found, has done a pretty good job with that. But I agree, the colors, I've had issues both with this, that Canon and this HP, trying to get the colors right. Usually once I've got them in iPhoto, I have to mess around with them a little bit to make them look the way I want them to.
Sure. And for me, color is a really big thing, especially considering how much of my life has been spent in the graphic design end of the world. So I like to minimize the amount of time I'm spending having to go in and tweak colors.
Now, here's another thing. Jeff, you pointed this one out to me. Keenomics makes a little product for frequent travelers. Anyone who's spending all their time on planes, spending a lot of time traveling, they make a laptop stand, $20. That's awesome. Just tilts it up a little bit, makes it a little easier to fit stuff on the tray on the plane. Totally useful.
Yes, that's the Aviator laptop stand, and I absolutely love mine. Believe it or not, it is in my computer bag all the time, and it's great not just for the trays on airplanes, but if you're going around working in, say, a coffee shop, or you need to work at a desk in a hotel room, this is really great because it takes your computer, lifts it up off the desk, puts it at an angle, and slides it a little bit forward so that your hands are in a more natural position and you're not pinching your arms on the edge of the desk. And it also gives you a little bit more height on the display so you can see what you're working on a little bit better, and it gets you better airflow all around your computer. It really is a fantastic product. And, you know, when I say I carry mine all the time, anyone that runs into me at Macworld, if you ask me, do you have your Aviator with you? I'll actually be able to show it to you because it is in my bag all the time.
I always carry it with me. Speaking of geek maneuvers, that is a true geek maneuver. You pointed something else out for this show that is totally sweet. Hard drive. Tell us about this thing.
Yes, LaCie's Safe Mobile Hard Drive. It's actually really, really cool. It's a USB 2.0 hard drive, and it has a little biometric fingerprint thing. Okay, now I feel really bad. I just forgot if that's the one that has the biometric on it.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's got the little fingerprint scanner.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it has the fingerprint scanner built right into it, and it uses a hardware encryption. So anyone that gets a hold of this little portable hard drive, they can't get your data off of it unless they happen to have your fingerprint. And supposedly, it's next to impossible to duplicate that, although I did see an episode of Mythbusters where they managed to do it fairly easily, although they don't tell you exactly the step-by-step that they went through. So I guess for us mere mortal non-Mythbusters, it's kind of tough to hack into something like that.
Yeah, and of course, the reality is that if you have physical access for an unlimited amount of time to any data, regardless of how it's encrypted, the fact is it's not secure. But under basically all normal circumstances, unless you literally have CIA information and it gets hijacked and you lose the drive to someone with access to a supercomputer, the thing is safe. And it scans your fingerprint, which is totally sweet. So if you have a
yes.
geek that you want to give a present to, somewhere between $150 and $230, I think, depending on the capacities, which range, I think it's 40, 80, and 120 gigabytes. So that's pretty
cool. That sounds right. Yes, and it really is cool. And they look nice, too.
Right on. Well, let me tell you about one thing. This is not so much for geeks necessarily. It's for any kind of music lover, anyone that wants to play music in their home. But it is kind of geared, I think, toward the more tech savvy. I've been playing with a product now for a couple months made by a company called Slim Devices, which actually recently just got purchased by, I think, Logitech. They make this product called the Squeezebox. Squeezebox 3 is the current version, and it's about $250. And think about Airport Express, the product made by Apple that lets you stream music from iTunes to a stereo on crack. It is.
Yes.
It's a terrific product. It's a really cool product. It's a really slick looking piece of hardware, and it has its own interface. It can suck down music and content from your iTunes library, and it can stream it wirelessly throughout your house if you have a wireless network, or if you have a wireless card in your machine, or if you have a wireless hub in the house, or it can do it over Ethernet if need be, to this device, which is sitting presumably next to your stereo. And it can play then your music out of your home stereo. So that's not an unreasonable concept, but they do it really well. They've got a really solid remote. They've got a nice display so you can browse your music really easily. It's just a really solidly made, cool-looking product. It can't play, for anyone who's an iTunes Music Store addict and buys all their music there, cannot play stuff downloaded from the iTunes Music Store because of the Fair Play protection. But the thing it can do, which is amazing. I did a show, it was months ago now, probably in March or April or something, about Pandora. Talked a lot about Pandora, the music discovery service.
Which Pandora. Is also very com, cool.
Which is totally sweet. The Squeezebox can play Pandora radio from itself. Like it'll suck it down from your wireless internet connection in the house, and it can play Pandora radio.
Okay, that's actually really cool. I didn't know you could do the Pandora thing with it.
Yeah, and you can set up new radio stations. Pandora is this thing where if you say, "Oh, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers," then they'll say, "Oh, here are a bunch of here's music that you'll like because you like Red Hot Chili Peppers," and it's really good. They do a really nice job searching for music. So it's a great product. They also Squeezebox also supports all of these additional plugins. That let you, for example, run RSS tickers, news tickers, weather tickers. They let you customize it in all kinds of different ways. And there's a huge kind of grassroots developer community that's built up around the Squeezebox because they've made it possible. They've opened up this API to make plugins, which is a really cool thing. So that's why I say it's kind of more for the tech savvy. You get the most out of it if you're a little more tech savvy. If you like Pandora or are interested in it, that's $30 a month maybe $15 a month for the Pandora. You get a 30-day trial, I think, but then you got to pay something per month to listen to Pandora on the Squeezebox, but it's worth it. If you like Pandora, it's totally worth it. Check that out if you're interested. We actually got a hold of that product because we were going to compare it to some other stuff that's out there, and because of some other products that are out there and kind of in the ether, we're going to wait to do a product roundup with streaming media until a little bit later. But for now, if you want a gift for someone that does that kind of thing for this holiday season, Squeezebox is absolutely the best thing that I'm aware of. I don't know, Jeff, if you know of anything else.
I'd say for now, Squeezebox is the best, and it looks really sharp when it's sitting there with your home theater system.
Right on.
Yes. So, all right. Well, moving away from the couch. I'm sorry, that was a horrible segue. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Nike Plus iPod.
Nike Plus iPod, yeah. Moving away from the couch at roughly jogging speed, I would say.
At roughly jogging speed. Nike Plus iPod. It's about a $30 package. And if you've been living under a rock, or if you've been living on your couch and haven't been checking the internet at all, the Nike Plus iPod is a little module that plugs into the iPod Nano and includes a wireless sensor that attaches to your shoe, and it acts sort of like your own portable trainer, and it learns your jogging, running, walking style, and you can tell it what you're trying to accomplish, and then it will give you audible feedback to let you know if you're within the appropriate workout range, which is really cool. And if you know someone that already has a Nano and you're okay dropping $30 on them, this is a really cool little product.
Yeah, and there are some other considerations. If you go, Misha, I think, did a review of this a few days ago.
Actually, I believe it was Vern Seward.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Vern did do it. Vern did a review of the kit and said, you know, there are some issues if you don't have the shoes that are designed with the little pouch for that Nike Pebble to measure your footsteps, then it might be a little bit more erratic. But people make things that you can kind of retrofit on there. And if you go and you, you do a little research, you can figure that stuff out. Pebbles, $30, sounds like a pretty cool product. And people that have reviewed it says, Vern and everybody else say, this thing is actually really cool if you jog a lot. So take a look at that. And again, if you read any of the Apple news, you probably heard of that. So one other thing for fitness addicts, there are cases, of course, here, there, and everywhere for every type of iPod. Jeff, you picked out one made by Marware for $30. Tell us about this one. Tell us why this one and not all the other cases that are out there.
Okay, I went with the sport suit for the iPod Nano. And actually, I believe it's the sport suit Relay. And it comes with a little add-on pouch so that you can use the Nike Plus iPod sensor on your shoe, even if you don't have shoes that have that little pouch thing built in, which is a neat little thing. I also like that it puts your iPod down on your wrist so that as you're running along, you can just put it up in front of you as if it was a wristwatch and work with it that way, which is kind of cool. The downside I've heard about this product, and I haven't had a chance to try it myself, some people are saying that the way the band fits on your wrist, it doesn't breathe very well, and so it can get pretty sweaty. But still, it's a nice little all-in-one package that gives you everything you need to use Nike Plus iPod, even if you don't have the shoes with the appropriate little pouch.
Cool. Yeah, and now there is another thing here. We're talking about iPods. We're talking about working out. One other thing to keep in mind, if you're looking for presents for people that listen to music under any circumstances, whether it's while they're working out or while they commute or just sitting at home, if they're podcasters and need a way to listen to what they're doing when they're recording their show, whatever it is, sweet headphones. That is a key thing to own. And not going to recommend anything specific here. We're actually Dave Hamilton, over at the Mac Geek Gab and also president of TMO, and I are working on a buyer's guide for in-ear headphones, which is really fun. We're having a great time doing it. And we're looking at universal models, the things that, you know, the normal kind of headphones, and Dave is reviewing all these custom fit headphones. It's going to be a really cool buyer's guide, and that should come out in the next couple of weeks. In the next little while, we should be posting that up. So keep an eye out for it. If that's something you think you might be interested to get gifts for, we'll have some information on that. The universal stuff will go up first on the assumption that most people, if you're looking to buy a present for someone, it's hard to surprise someone with a present of custom fitted earphones because you got to mold their ears. It's kind of difficult to do that without someone knowing about it.
I can think of a couple ways, but I probably can't share them because I'd be violating laws in certain states. Yeah. All right, so if you want to go with something a little bit bigger than in-the-ear headphones, there are some other cool products you can look at, like iHome's IH5 clock radio. And, you know, this is a product that personally I think is really, really cool. And I have one sitting beside my bed right now. Some people have given it not so great reviews because of the audio quality, but considering what it is, I've been very pleased with the audio quality that I get off of mine, and it's just something that sits beside my bed, so it's not like I'm looking for the highest level of fidelity when I wake up in the morning. And I really like that it works AM, FM. You can hook in other devices to it, like if you had a CD player, you could plug that in, and it has that iPod dock right there. So I can wake up or go to sleep to whatever music I want to, instead of having to hope that I find a radio station that isn't going to be playing commercials when I want to be listening to music instead.
Now, here's a question. I don't suppose anyone, this just occurred to me, does anyone make a version of that type of device, a clock radio with an iPod dock, that can also sync your iPod when you plug it into the clock radio?
Actually, yes. This product does that, and several of them do. What you want to look for when you look at the specs of these products is to see if it includes an iPod dock port, and the IH5 does.
Now, it needs to be wired, or it can do it wirelessly?
Needs to be wired. Uh-huh. So So that's one drawback. But I'm going to bet that it won't take too long for someone to sit back and go, well, why would I want to have that wired when instead I could just have a wireless connection that goes back to my Mac? And I think we'll see something like that pretty soon. And
Because
actually, to go off on a
not all of us use keyboards as a pillow.
Oh, really?
Not all of us sleep right next to the computer.
Oh. So, well, actually, just to go off on a little tangent here real quick, Belkin has a new wireless USB product that's going to be coming out, I think, in December. So that might be an option right there.
Cool.
Which, yeah, so that'll be kind of cool. And when it comes out, of course, I'll tell everyone all about it.
Right on. And there was one other speaker system that I wanted to mention, the iHome, the IH5 clock radio. Totally different product if you're looking for speakers for an iPod that are considered to be really high fidelity. I have not heard them myself, but Dave Hamilton, who definitely knows what he's talking about, and Brian and Misha have all heard these speakers. They're made by Audio Engine. They're called the A5 speakers. They're about $350 as opposed to the $100 for the IH5. But they all say they sound fantastic and they look cool. So go ahead and check out Audio Engine A5 speakers if you're looking for something for an audiophile, and also a slightly pricier gift.
Yes. Now, one thing that we put in our category of kids, but anyone can appreciate this as long as you're okay with a little bit of programming, and that's the Lego Mindstorms NXT kit, which is just a stunningly cool product. It's a Lego kit, and it includes a programmable robot component so that you can build all these different types of robotic devices, and it connects to your Mac or to a Windows computer if you have a family member that you haven't been able to do the intervention thing with yet. And it's just amazingly cool. It comes with all these different sensors for light, sound, things like that. And you can program your whatever robot you make to do all different kinds of tasks. It's amazingly cool. There was a robotics fair at the Museum of Nature and Science in Denver a couple weeks ago, and so of course I went, and there was this huge display of people that had built robots with the Mindstorms NXT kits, and they were using them to simulate nanotechnology. And so they had these NXT robots running around and taking other little Legos as if they were components that needed to be dropped into someone's DNA or something. And it was amazing. I was watching 10-year-old kids simulate nanotechnology surgery.
Which is pretty sweet. Here's another product for kids that I've been looking at. Haven't had a chance to really get into it, but there's this really cool product made by Allegro Media called Piano Wizard is the name of the software. And it's about $200 for this kit that comes with the software and a MIDI keyboard made by M Audio. And what you can do, you get these little stickers and you put stickers down on the keyboard keys. And this software is, at first at least, it's a video game that you play by pressing keys on the piano. And the idea is that at first you learn how to, play this video game by playing, and it's for kids, a game for kids. So at first you learn how to play the game by pressing keys on the piano at the right times, and in the right places, the right keys. And they're color-coded, so you don't need to know anything about the piano. You just make sure that you hit the right color key at the right time. And then it gradually teaches how to play piano and how to read music, which is really cool. And again, I'm going to take a closer look at it. And if anything comes up where I say, actually, you don't want to take a look at this for your kids, then I'll let you know next week. But at first glance, this thing is a really, really clever, interesting product. So if you are looking for something for kids, if you want something kind of on the educational bent, the Lego thing and this both definitely have their education elements to them. So those are pretty cool.
Cool. Okay, how about a couple stocking stuffers? And I'll start with one of my favorites, Radtech. They make some amazing keyboard covers and iPod covers out of this fabric that's called Optex. And it's this optic grade fabric that they form to fit your iPod or your PowerBook or MacBook, whatever it is that you have. And it keeps the product from getting scratched. Now, the sleeves that they make for the laptops, you have to take those off before you can open the computer. But the ones that they make for the iPods, they stay on all the time. And then they're actually debossed with a... Okay, for those of you that don't know what that means, they stamped in the impression of what the click wheel would be. So you know where to put your thumb on the fabric, and you can control your iPod through the fabric, which is really neat.
Yeah.
And they make little sheets of Optex that you can lay on your keyboard. And I have one with my PowerBook all the time. And a couple of my iPods, I have the different Radtech iPod sleeves for. It's fantastic products.
Right on. Here's another quick little one. We talked a few weeks ago, back when I was at the Portable Media Expo, about Shield Zone, which makes some really neat protection products for iPods, for cell phones, for basically any consumer electronics device. If you've got it, they make something that you can put on it. And it's this this industrial-grade, military-grade plastic that is basically impossible to scratch. You can dent it if you do some really violent things, but you can go at it with keys, you can go at it with coins. And it's really good at keeping scratches off of your iPod or off of your any electronics, your PowerBook, cell phone, PDA, whatever. So go ahead and take a look at those. Those are somewhere between $5 and $25, depending on what the thing is. If you have products that you think we should be talking about, if you've got thoughts on other products that we should take a look at, if there are things that you're curious about, if you're thinking, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd buy this product for someone, but you're not sure, send us an email. The email's roundup@macobserver.com. And if we don't know the answer, we'll go find someone on the staff that does. We'll tell you a little bit about what you guys are buying for friends and family and so forth. Have fun, and I guess we'll get back into the real thing next week.
Okay, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to Weekly Roundup.
Our content, of course, is written by the staff of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. And that is all I've got this week.
And stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone, we'll see you online.